You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
So David sent messengers and took her into him. He lay with her, and the woman conceived and sent and told David, "I'm with child."
Yeah, but first he sent Uriah, her husband, to the front line so he would accidentally, on purpose, be killed. So ostensibly,
that's coming up.
Yep, David became a murderer.
That's right. But the first thing he did is he's trying to cover his sin.
Yeah.
You know, he's scheming.
Now, I never knew that. He slept with her before he killed Uriah?
Definitely. That's why he killed Uriah. And wow. So this is Samuel chapter 2 Samuel 11. So David sent. So get this. David is just trying to cover his sin. And that's what he's doing. So he sent to Uriah saying, "Send Uriah the Hittite." And Uriah came to David. When Uriah came in, David demanded, "Hey, how is it going with the battle and everything?" And so he says, David said to Uriah, "Go down to your house, wash your feet." And Uriah departed out of the king's presence and followed him. So David sent Uriah home. David's plan is Uriah would sleep with his wife. Then he'll think the baby's his. See, David's still trying to cover his sin. Just like we do. We think we're so wise trying to cover our sin.
Oh, yeah. And then Nathan comes to see David after Uriah's killed on the front line and said, "There was a man who had many sheep and another man that had one sheep. Well, the man with many sheep went and took the one sheep from the man that had only one sheep." And David said, "I swear that whoever that is, that man should be killed for what he did." And then Nathan turned to him and said, "Thou art the man, for you sent Uriah to the front line to be killed, ostensibly murdering him." And David came to his senses and laid on the ground and threw dirt over his back and cried out to the Lord. He said, "Will I die? Will I die?" And said Nathan says, "No, the Lord will not take your life, but the sword shall never leave your household, and your firstborn of Bathsheba shall die." Consequence.
Yeah, so Uriah would not go into his wife. He said, "Well, how can I go into my wife when the men are dying on the field?"
Yep.
So, as you said, then David commanded the officers to put Uriah on the front line and pull back and leave him exposed to the enemy's sword, which is what they did. And so Uriah is killed, and David thought. And when the wife of Uriah heard that Uriah, her husband, was dead,
so
she mourned for her husband.
So I never knew that part of the story. So he wouldn't sleep with his wife because he thought it was wrong to be having a good time with his wife while all his soldiers were up there. So that's when David sent him to the front line. If he had slept with his wife, then he would have covered David's sin. But it didn't happen. So then he sends him to be killed.
Exactly.
What a horrible story.
And when the morning was past, David sent and fetched her to his house, and she became his wife. And she bare him a son, the thing that David had done before, which displeased the Lord. So David thought he had covered his sin. You know, to everyone, it looked like Uriah died in battle.
Yeah.
His wife was a widow. Yeah. David married her. On the surface, it looked clean and clear. Just like sometimes when we've covered our sin, on the surface, it looks clean and clear. Mm. You know, and the Lord sent Nathan unto David, and he came to him and said to him, "Hey, guess what?" They said, "There were two men, one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceedingly many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing save one little ewe lamb, which he brought in and nourished up and grew up together with him and with his children. He did eat of his own meat and drank of his own cup and lay in his bosom. And him was like his daughter. The little lamb was like his daughter. And there came a traveler to the rich man, and the rich man, and spared to take his own flock, didn't take his own flock to dress, but he took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the visitor that was coming to see him. And David heard that, and his anger rose up, mightily kindled against that man. And he said to Nathan, "As the Lord lives, the man that has done this thing shall surely die." He shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing, because he had no pity. And Nathan said to David, thou art the man. Yeah. Thus saith the Lord God, I have anointed you king of Israel. I delivered you out of the hand of Saul. I gave you your master's house and your master's wives in your bosom, and gave you the house of Israel and of Judah and of all that has been, that had been too little. I would moreover have given you such and such and such and such things. Wherefore have you despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in this sight? You killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword. You killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and have taken his wife to be your wife, and have slain him with the sword of the, sword of the children of Ammon. Therefore, the sword shall never depart out of your house. You know, God is a loving God, and it grieves him. It grieves him when we disobey. But you know what? Something interesting happens here that I think is a great lesson for me and a great lesson for all of us. Is David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord has put away sin from you. You shall not die. And however, because of this deed, you've given occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme. The child also that is with you shall surely die. So when, you know, when we sin against God, it gives the enemies of God opportunity to blaspheme his name, you know, and to mock him. And I think one amazing thing about this is David wrote many of the Psalms in the Bible. He wrote Psalm 51, the amazing, amazing, amazing Psalm. Psalm 51, David wrote, have mercy on me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you might be justified when you speak and clear when you judge. You know, when we sin, it's a sin against God in heaven. You know, it dishonors him and grieves him. Yeah. But see, David said in verse 10, he's in verse 9, he says, hide your face from my sins and blot out my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. David did not say, I'm never going to do that again. Bless God, I'm not going to do that, you know, because I won't do it. I hate it. I'm not going to do it. He didn't say that. He realized his total inability to walk in holiness without God, without God helping him, without God doing it. So he said, Lord, God created me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence. And take not your Holy Spirit from me. My precious dear listener, the worst thing about sin is that it separates us from God, separates us from the holy, precious, wonderful relationship with the creator of the heavens and the creator of the earth. To be separated and not have an intimate relationship with him is the worst travesty that mankind has ever seen, I believe.
Now, by the cast me not away. Wow.
David says, cast me not away from your presence and don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Please, please, God in heaven, don't cast me away from your presence. Don't take your Holy Spirit from me. See, sin is totally, totally, totally selfish. My dear listener, if you're having a problem with addiction or if you're addicted to drugs, whatever sin you or I could possibly be in, I guarantee you, that besides being based in the lust of the flesh and lust of the eyes and boastful pride of life, it's selfishness. We do what we want to do, when we want to do, and how we want to do it. See, and it grieves God when we disobey him, because he loves us, and he knows that the payment of sin is separation from him.
Well, apparently you're influencing people here, because we're getting some, we got a text here from Daniel McKelly, who says he's really enjoying the show, and other people are. So we're reaching people live right now. And by the way, if anybody wants to hear this broadcast again right now, they can go to the Rhett Palmer podcast. We'll have it up there in a few days. And Richard soon will have his own new podcast. podcast that we're creating for him, where all these shows can go. Where some people are here because they're booked, so we got a little late start, so we have to close out today, Richard. But I want to thank you for zooming in from Vermont. Is there one last thing you want to say to the people out there, how they can maybe repent of their ways and choose the Lord in a relationship with him, please?
Yes, I think the thing to do is understand that God does love you. He loves you with an awesome love, and he's got an awesome plan for your life. You know, the Bible says there, just real quick, there's just three things that the Bible says that I want to tell you about. The one that the all have sinned and come short of God, everybody, and that the payment of that is separation from God, as we saw in King David, and that God has laid on Christ the sin of us all. Jesus took it all upon himself. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. So I'm going to pray for you very fast, real quick. I'm going to pray for you, and then you're going to pray. And here we go. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I pray for the precious listeners that you've led, not by coincidence, to hear the word today, Lord God. I pray you bless them in their homes, Lord, with long life and health, Lord. Help them, God. Help them. Have mercy on them. Bless them, oh God, in Jesus' name, and those they love. And Father, if they haven't given that, if you haven't given your life to Jesus today, I pray that right now you would do that. You would just pray. You'd say, Jesus, come into my heart.
Come into my heart.
I give you my life.
I give you my life.
I believe that you rose from the dead.
I believe you rose from the dead.
And paid the price for me.
Paid the price for me.
From now on, Jesus, I am yours.
From now, Jesus, I am yours.
I receive you as absolute Lord and Master of my life.
I receive you as absolute Lord and Master of my life.
I confess from this day forward.
I confess this day forward.
Jesus Christ is my Lord.
Jesus Christ is my Lord.
As a minister of the gospel, I've got great news for you. If you pray that, you can know for sure that you're going to heaven. And if you ever mess up or do something wrong, don't run away from God. Run toward him.
Great news. Richard Soud, thanks for being with us today. We'll see you again next week, same time, same station, all right?
Look forward to it.
I miss you, Richard.
Blessings for all, in Jesus' name.
Okay, God bless you.
Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m. or 3 p.m. for the continuation of this interview. I'm your host, Rhett Palmer, and this is a new day.
We'd like to thank Center for Advanced Eye Care, Dr. Mallon, Center for Advanced Eye Care with offices in Fort Pierce and in Vero Beach. Thank you for supporting It's a New Day.
Welcome to Constitutional Conversations. I'm Dr. Brenda McMenamin. Why is it so important to understand the Constitution? Understanding the heritage and history that God gave us enables us to honor and obey Him so He can rescue us and America.
Article 2, Section 1, Clause 7 states the President shall, at stated times, receive for his services a compensation which shall neither be increased nor diminished during the period for which he shall have been elected, and he shall not receive within that period any other emolument from the United States or any of them. Alexander Hamilton stated that the reason the president is prohibited from receiving any additional emolument from the United States or any individual state is so Congress can neither weaken his fortitude by operating upon his necessities nor corrupt his integrity by appealing to his avarice. Benjamin Franklin expressed these concerns very well. Sir, there are two passions which have a powerful influence on the affairs of men. These are ambition and avarice, the love of power and the love of money. Separately, each of these has great force in prompting men to action. But when united in view of the same object, they have in many minds the most violent effects. Place before the eyes of such men a post of honor that shall at the same time a place of profit, and they will move heaven and earth to obtain it. There is scarce a king in 100 who would not, if he could, follow the example of Pharaoh, get first all the people's money, then all their lands, then make them and their children servants forever. It will be said that we don't propose to establish kings, I know it, but there is a natural inclination in mankind to kingly government. It may be imagined that we could never find men to serve us in the executive department without paying them well for their services. I conceive this to be a mistake. The pleasure of doing good and serving their country and the respect such conduct entitles them to are sufficient.